Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of mind power. Yes, this is Donna Sebo. We're still with a touch of laryngitis, but we're going to have fun today because we're going to be talking about something we all love, and that is food. Here we are entering into the holiday season, and Lord knows we all are going to be cooking, and we're going to be involved in so much preparation for our homes, for decoration, and dinners, lunches, family gatherings of all kinds, and food is always a focus. Well, my guest today is Leo Pearlstein. Leo has been involved in the food industry for so many, many years. His company is Lee & Associates. They're located in California. He has known celebrities, oh my goodness, just to go way, 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 way back. And he's just an intriguing man. But Leo has been a guest of mine many times because we always have these recipes to share. But more importantly, there is also some historical information. We're finding that the tastes of the American individual are changing relative to the fabulous holiday that we all love, and it's called Thanksgiving. Leo, welcome to the show.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I've been looking forward to it.
Well, Leo, it's always so much fun having you on the air because you enjoy food. You really enjoy cooking. You enjoy so many things. But when we were setting this up, I was intrigued with some new information that you obtained because a survey was done about how Americans are celebrating Thanksgiving, West Coast, East Coast, Southern areas, Northern areas. What prompted this survey to be done? Who said, let's find out what's going on?
Well, it's very interesting. Once a year, more than once a year, our staff sits down. We have a home economist, a dietitian, a consulting chef, and a couple of food consultants. What are we going to do this year for Thanksgiving? You know, number one, you always want to do the traditional. If it's part of the family that mothers hand down to their children and so on, generation to generation. And of course, there's always the new contemporary things that you hear on the Food Network and the magazines and people like you on radio and TV. So we talk, what are we going to do this year? Well, Pam Johnson, who's one of our top executives, a very good food person, very knowledgeable, she said, you know what? Thanksgiving's an important holiday. Why don't we do a survey and find out just all in different parts of the country what they do and how they do it, not only the food, but just the overall embellishment of the dinner and so on and so forth. So we went to Mrs. Covison and asked them to sponsor and get a regular research company that does that, you know, like they're doing all the polling now and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And officially and technically, they always have to do the demographics, different men and women, different ages, and different parts of the country. And they query thousands of people, and then it comes down to a sample with a 1% or 2% variance here and there. So they sponsored it with a very fine research company, and it came out, and we were thrilled. It just, of course, a lot of things that came out, we sort of always knew, but it sort of verified it, and one thing they did is they took the entire survey and did the summary of it, like you do. You have lots of pages, but they did a summary, and they put it on thanksgivingtips.com.
Interesting. So people can go there if they want to find out about this, thanksgivingtips.com.
Right, and then go to the website, and then there'll be a little button that says Thanksgiving Across America. And we found some very interesting facts. The first thing, of course, was they ask questions about what do you think is the most pleasant, most important holiday to you in the year, What do you think? Well, the first holiday was Christmas. Christmas was number one. It's a religious holiday, and there's no doubt about it that Christmas was the number one holiday. However, Thanksgiving, immediately behind Christmas, is the number one food family holiday of the year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they gave them a choice of 4th of July, Labor Day, Memorial Day, Easter Day. By far, Thanksgiving was by far considered the most important food event holiday for the family. So that was pretty good. Then they asked some questions like, since it's Thanksgiving, do you give thanks at the table, or how do you do it? And it was an ad-lib thing where the people responded. And really, it was very nice because it showed that at the table, at the dinner table, or at the gathering before you eat, they give thanks. The first thanks they gave to was to the family, to themselves. Thank you to the family, and thank God. And then thank for the health. Thank you for our health. And a very interesting one that came up, a lot of people said thankful for their friends. That was very interesting. It was pretty close to the top. So it's family, friends, God, health. And then, of course, thanks that we have a job, especially in this period. And, of course, other things, too. But that was interesting. Then in different parts of the country, how far do you travel to go to Thanksgiving dinner? Well, believe it or not, in the South, according to the statistics, they drove up to 500 miles to go Thanksgiving.
In 500 miles?
200 miles. The South has to really... There's something about the South that really celebrates Thanksgiving. I don't know if it's tradition or culture or what it is. In fact, they asked, how much time do you spend planning your Thanksgiving dinner and getting ready? Believe it or not, in the South, they take 3 days of all sorts of planning and working and fussing and so on. And
absolutely.
In the West, they only take a day. Things like
now,
that came up.
You know, Leo, let's stop there for a minute because this is significant. When you're looking at the different parts of the country, on the West Coast, people are of such a different demeanor. They want delicious food. They want to be able to fix it quickly. They're not as likely to linger over the food.
Exactly.
Just,
that's a very big point that was made. A very big point.
And then in the South, there is a cultural style. A lot of it has to do with the weather. But this goes back centuries where they felt that a table, you had to have a phenomenal spread on the table. And I can tell you, having family back in the southern areas of the United States, this is a big deal. It reminds me of my Italian background, where, by golly, you're going to put it out there and just don't sit down and tell me you're only going to spend 15 minutes at my table. You better sit down and have a conversation.
That really came up in the survey. It was very interesting. I'm glad you're sort of elaborating on it and pointing out the details, which the survey did not. It just said that that's what had happened. But that's exactly true. Exactly true.
Yes, it is. So. And I think that when you look at those different parts of the country, and if you go back into American history, you will find that food was so hard to come by that when you were able to put a good table on, you were not going to just make it, like I said, a short deal. It was conversation. It was an opportunity to have fellowship. And preparing days ahead, my goodness, Leo, and again, it comes from my background, but the Southern application of hospitality, people coming to the dinner, and you are to mind your manners. The children many times were dressed. When I say dressed, they weren't just in jeans and a T-shirt.
Right,
this was an occasion. And when I was growing up in California on Thanksgiving, that was something, because of my Italian background, that's what you did. This was almost like going to church when you went to Thanksgiving dinner at someone's house. There was no, you know, the kids could go out and play, and that's fine, but by golly, you were to pay attention. This was a time of fellowship. This was a time to savor with those that maybe you only see, if you're lucky, once a year. So this, I think this survey is fabulous.
I mean, you can just sort of braze through it. And, of course, they spoke a lot about the food. What is the best part of the meal? Well, obviously, turkey was number one, but stuffing was definitely number two. Practically 90-plus percent said that the stuffing was the number two item. And listen to this. This is kind of interesting. You know, by statistics, it surprised me. Foods that you look forward to on Thanksgiving, turkey and then stuffing. And then I was surprised. Mashed potatoes was number three. I was kind of surprised. And then pies were number four. But then I realized at Thanksgiving you have your special pies, your mince pie or pumpkin pie or cranberry pie. So that was number four. Number five, then it went down to sweet potatoes, hot rolls, and all sorts of things. So that was kind of interesting, too. And then, do you stuff the turkey or do you put it in a casserole? 65% of the people make it in casseroles, which is a trend. More and more and more people are making it outside of the turkey. 45% of the people stuff the turkey. A lot of them do both, of course. So that was an interesting thing. And then there were questions like, what do you do at the table? Do you tell stories? Do you games? Do you reminisce? And there was all sorts of information about, you know, family stories, nostalgia, family games. Of course, a lot of people watch the football games, you know, before and during and after. That was kind of interesting. Another one was the ingredients that you use. What ingredients do you use in your stuffing? 87% of the people said that onions and celery were the most important parts, which is very interesting because onions and celery are the most important parts of the stuffing. And then they had sausage, vegetables, fruit, dried fruit, fresh fruit, and so on. So that was interesting.
Now, Leo, one of the things that I wanted to cover, because you had sent me some information, you said that in the western part of the United States, vegetarian dishes are really becoming very, very strong. And then there's also gluten-free. Now, this is something that has been evolving over the years, but there's gluten-free. And then you said in the South and Midwest, there are concerns about diabetes. And then the Northeast and the South tending towards lactose-free and kosher menu offerings. I thought that is intriguing.
This is something that a family can do very easily. If you have a large gathering, my niece invites two families, my wife's sister's family and our family, with the kids and the grandkids and everything. We have a big mob. There's bound to be some people that have dietary problems. So you address it. You make something like easy. You make a vegetarian stuffing, for example, but you make some soy things or even imitation turkey. But what you do is you put table tents on the table, on the buffet, sugar-free, fat-free, lactose-free. You know, it shows your guests that you're thinking about them. And it also reminds some of the other guests maybe they should have that too. So when you're making your dinner for the whole group, it's very nice to address any special needs of your visitors. I think that's very courteous and very nice.
And, I agree.
There's another thing, of course, the subject itself, as far as the meal, there are a lot of little handy hints that we've developed over the years. There's one thing that gets me, in fact, talking about a big group. You know, you're hungry as the dickens, and things are usually late. You load up on the hors d'oeuvres, and when the turkey's ready, you want to rush like heck. And when you have a big group and you have a big menu, you don't always end up bringing the food all together at the same time. You're sort of dragging in. You know, they have the vegetables, you bring that out, and then you bring this out, then you bring the turkey out. The secret is to bring everything out at once. You know, with help, you get the niece and the daughter. So here's a very simple plan. You know, the turkey will take so long. It tells you approximately when the turkey will be done. Now, you want to serve the stuffing hot, and you want to serve the rolls hot. And now, in fact, I learned a lot. There was a guy in Salt Lake City, Mr. Rhodes, R-H-O-D-E-S, famous baker, 50 years ago or so. He invented, he didn't invent it, but he produced frozen rolls that you put in the freezer and you take them out as you need them. Was a yeast recipe, a grandma-type recipe, no preservatives. And now it's sold the year-round. In fact, we have it in our freezer all the time. Whenever we run out of bread or whenever we have an emergency, you just take the rolls out of the freezer, put them in a muffin tin or put them on a baking plate, baking tin. You know the rolls are going to rise. The yeast is going to rise. So Thanksgiving Day, you take the rolls out in the morning and you put them on a counter, cover with wax paper. Forget about it because it's going to take about 4 to 5 hours to rise. Now, you plan it accordingly. When you put your turkey in, you know it's going to take you 2.5, 3 hours, 3.5 hours, depending on the size. When the turkey is done, you cannot carve it right away. You've got to let it rest a little bit. So you let the turkey rest at least 20 minutes. And while the turkey's resting, the oven is free. So you remember you prepared your stuffing mix. You put your stuffing in the oven, cover it up in a 350 degrees oven-covered casserole, greased casserole. You're going to leave the stuffing in for a half hour. After 15 minutes, you put the rolls, which have risen, into the oven. So here you've got the stuffing and the rolls in the onion oven. You started to carve the turkey. It takes you 15 minutes or so to carve the turkey. You put the turkey on the platter, and guess what? You open the oven, you take the stuffing out, you take the rolls out, and then you get some help, and you take the stuffing, the rolls, the turkey, all to the table at the same time. The meanwhile, you have your veggies and your other stuff, which you took to the table. So you don't have piecemeal. You have everything ready to go. The people get up, the stuff's lined up, and they serve themselves. I think it's just good planning, good planning.
It really is, and it's something, especially if any of our listeners are young cooks and you're just beginning to do something like this and you're planning on having your family over and you're wanting to impress them. Boy, can I tell you, I've gone through situations where I just panicked. I didn't have things coming out on time, quote-unquote. And what you do, again, you learn to plan, and you try to keep it somewhat simple. Don't get too complicated. And well, fortunately, in our world today, you can
talk
get
about
pies, you know, ready-made.
Talk about the West.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to spend hours and hours and hours making your stuffing, because once you have your ingredients that you like in the family, your tradition, and you've got your stuffing and your margarine and your liquid and so on, you know, you don't even have to chop onions or celery anymore. You can go to the produce department in the refrigerated section, and you buy a container, it's only a few pennies more, of already chopped onions and celery. That saves a lot of time and a lot of messing around by itself. Then you go to
Absolutely.
The grocery department, and you buy a container of the new chopped prunes. They're called Amazons from Sunsweet. They're little tiny chopped prunes. They're about the size of raisins. You just take the lid off, and you can actually pour the chopped prunes in with the chopped onions and chopped celery. And then there are a bunch of dried fruits now that they've also got. We like, and this year we're using the dried sour cherries.
Yeah.
They're great. They look good, and they lend color to your stuffing. So our simple recipe is I call it a Leo no-work stuffing. Because what you do is this. You have your stuffing that's already made. It's seasoned just right. You put it in a bowl. Then you pour in the chopped onions, then pour in the chopped celery, and pour in the chopped prunes, and you pour in the red cherries. You haven't done any chopping or anything. You've poured it in. Then you take your melted butter or margarine, and instead of using the broth, use apple juice. You can pour it right out of, you can actually pour it right out of the can, you know, on the apple juice. So that's another thing that you do right off the bat. And whatever special ingredients you have in the stuffing, you know, if it's any addition stuff, you can do that. So you really haven't cooked, you've assembled. You've really assembled stuff. Now, here's another thing. Some families like stuffing mushy and moist. Some people in the family, in our family, my brother and I and my father liked it well done, you know, crusty. And my mother liked it loose. So what my mom used to do is she took the stuffing out of the oven at the end of 30 minutes or so, and she scooped out enough for her on the moist stuff. She put it back in the oven, took the cover off, and left it in for another 10 or 15 minutes, and it crusted up. So my brother and I and my father had the crusty stuff, but my mother had the moist stuff. So here again, you think about your guests, you can do it two ways. So that's another little tiny idea that you could do. And by the way, I want to remind you again, all of these things are on ThanksgivingTips.com. And a lot of,
Leo,
in fact, they've also got a couple of TV videos on the website also.
Yes, they have. Now, Leo, one of the recipes that you have, because I know we have many listeners who are vegetarians, and this side dish that you have in your Mrs. Cubison's Best Stuffing Cookbook, there's so many wonderful recipes, but this is like for crusty cabbage wedges. And someone might say, cabbage, you got to be kidding, on Thanksgiving. But this is made with, you can do it with or without bacon. You could use turkey bacon if you wanted to. We have so many options, but I'm a bacon person. I really enjoy good smoked bacon. And this is so easy. You take 8 cups of water and salt and, you know, put it in a large saucepan. You're going to be bringing that to a boil. What you're going to need is a teaspoon of salt, 1 large head of cabbage, 8 slices of bacon that's diced up. And you're going to use cornbread stuffing mix. You're going to need about 3 cups of that. And then 1/4 cup of grated Parmesan cheese. Now, me, it'd probably be more like 1/2 cup. I like Parmesan. But anyway, you prepare your cabbage, removing the core, cut it into 8 wedges. Oh, but in this recipe, you don't want to remove the core because you don't want it falling apart on you. So you put it aside, and then the bacon, you cook it until it's crisp. Then you take the stuffing mix, the cheese, you add it to the bacon, and just stir it, and the stuffing will get brown and crisp. You keep it warm. The cabbage wedges go into boiling water. You don't cook them very long, maybe about 5 minutes. And then you drain the cabbage and arrange the wedges on a platter attractively and top it with this hot stuffing mix. I mean, that is so simple. That is absolutely wonderful. But that would be something you could enjoy, not just for Thanksgiving, but year-round.
Well, yes. In fact, you can do that as on a Sunday dinner or a festive occasion. And it is fun, and it shows your guests that you've come up with something creative. It's a creative recipe.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's great. It's a great idea. I'm glad you thought of that one. And there are many others that you can find that are good year-round and good. Almost every family has their own preference based on their cultural background, too.
Yes.
So that's something that can work out. And, of course, you want to, as I say, even though you've been making turkey every year, you want to remember that there are little things that you should remember. Thaw it out in the refrigerator slowly in 3 days. And if you have an emergency and the turkey's still not defrosted, you can use cold running water, but never use hot water. Hot water brings bacteria. And don't forget to take the giblets out. It wouldn't hurt anything, be a little bit messy. And don't forget the livers in the neck cavity, and the big neck is in the front part. You got to take that out. So these are little things to remember to do. And,
well, you know, Leo, when you're a first-timer and you have this great big bird in front of you, it can be so intimidating. And I can remember years ago when brown bags were used for baking a turkey. And at that time, you got brown bags at your grocery store. You didn't think anything of it. And you would oil that turkey down, and you'd put it inside the brown bag and make sure you clip the end tightly closed, put it in the oven and bake it. It turned out beautifully, and all the grease was absorbed. I just loved the brown bag.
Yeah, and that was interesting. Talking about bags, and you got it covered. You know, when I was making the turkey, I love to make the turkeys. I would baste it tremendously in the beginning, and then I would open up the oven about every half hour, and I'd baste it some more. And one of our chef friends was in the house. He said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm basting the turkey." He says, "You don't have to baste it. Give it one basting when you start." He says, "Every time you open the oven, you're letting cold air in." He said, "Don't. You only have to baste it once." So that was an interesting thing that he told me about.
I'll tell you, there's so many things that we can learn. And as I said, the brown bagging is gone because you don't have that anymore. But I do think that if you're a first-timer, and this is something that you're really wanting to get into, I want you to have fun with it. And by the way, Leo's book that he and Lisa Messinger went and put together, it's Mrs. Cubison's Best Stuffing Cookbook. It is so handy. And I think, too, when you can invite kids to help you out in the kitchen, that's one thing about the holidays, Leo. Often you'll find with families, they'll come in, and mom starts assigning, okay, you got to chop the carrots, you go set the table, you do this, you do that, you do the other. And there is an involvement that I think
The kids really love it. It's a good idea.
Yeah, it's just, I think women of the world, when they do this, this is almost like a crowning achievement. And the guys can enjoy it, too. Sometimes the guys are better cooks than their wives. But it's something that... It's all about fellowship. It's all about being grateful. It is a tradition that, for all intents and purposes, goes back for thousands of years because we celebrate Thanksgiving in a season when we know we're not far from the cold of winter. So if people centuries ago had a good harvest, then they celebrated that harvest and they shared it. And that's what this is all about today. Leo, this is wonderful. Now, Thanksgiving tips, and I apologize for this touch of laryngitis, thanksgivingtips.com. Anybody can go there. We talked about the new survey that's done. So this is fun if you're a teacher, if you're someone that wants to pass along some insights to family, letting them know about how the holiday has changed in some respects, and in other respects, it's good old tradition, really bright and strong. Go to turkeytips.com. Leo, it has been delightful having you as a guest again, as always, and you just thoroughly enjoy this, and obviously the food business has been a very significant part of your life. Thank you for being my guest today.
It's been my pleasure. I look forward to it every time.
Well, it's just delightful. I wish you and your family the very best and the warmest and happiest of the holiday season. On all
levels. Thank you so much, and the same to you.
This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break for just a moment, and then we'll be back. We've got a lot more good stuff to share with you. Don't go away.
Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprosin.com, that's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N, and find out more information. You can order Toprosin online or call 800-959-1007, that's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30 and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprosin, non-toxic, safe for children too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedros accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny. They will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural, and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Yes, I still have a touch of laryngitis, but I'm doing so much better. I had to laugh at a friend of mine because when she heard my voice, she said, "Donna, do you know how you sound?" I said, "No." She said, "Let me try to imitate you." And she tried to lower her voice, and oh, we started laughing. She said, "You sound in a way like one of these sultry sirens." And we just had so much fun with it. But it is downright irritating when you have an aspect of laryngitis and all of a sudden you're excited, you want to talk, and all that comes out is a little squeak. And that is very irritating. Anyway, let's open up the phone lines. Give me a buzz at 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Well, a countdown is beginning. Day after tomorrow, I'm going to be presenting my last class of the year, Quantum Mind 4. Robert Newman is going to be presenting in the first portion of the class, which is from 10 in the morning until 4 in the afternoon. He will be presenting the Chinese Secrets to Longevity. In the afternoon, you get to work with me. That's right. We're going to be doing some exercises and demonstrating to you how you have psychic ability yourself and how you can use it in everyday life. It's fun, it's interesting, it's interactive. We still have some seats available, and I know the election is going on and all this kind of stuff. Hey, why not give a gift to yourself? Enjoy fellowship, because we serve lunch, so that's going to be included. For only $59.95, you're going to be with some people that are just absolutely delightful. You are going to be informed, we're going to have fun, and you're going to explore your own mental talents and capabilities. It is really terrific. It is a great way to prepare for our new year, 2013. So if you'd like to give me a call, because our doors will open at 9:15 for registration, give me a call at my office, 253-582-5604. Well, all of the mess that has been back on the East Coast has presented so many challenges for so many American families that in their wildest dreams they never even thought they would be experiencing. And I know you, just like me, you're saying, what can I do to help? Well, I'd contact the local Red Cross organizations, the Salvation Army, any of the charitable foundations that are going to be assisting people in that area of the United States. And it is huge. The people of New Jersey were just slammed. New York, I mean, there's just such a massive area. We have never had this kind of a situation. Hurricane Katrina was bad, but this is a doozy. We are resilient. Americans are known for being resourceful. So understand that whatever you can do, sending them prayers, you may not have any money, but maybe you have something you'd like to donate that could go into a collection that could be sent back to those families that have lost everything. And rebuilding, it may or may not happen for some. They may have to relocate. Who knows? There's going to be a lot of stories that we're going to be sharing in the coming months about people, their resourcefulness, and how they're able to get through this kind of a travesty. And my guest tomorrow, her name is Nianelle. Now, this is a woman from South Africa, and she was supposed to be in New York. She was supposed to be in New York as of 2 days ago. Well, obviously, that didn't happen. So she is going to be in South Africa. She canceled her trip because of all of the challenges. And we're going to be interviewing her. She is an absolutely awesome musician. She is a singer. She also writes lyrics. And she put together a book saying, Knowing Who I Am. So we're going to be sharing that with you tomorrow from South Africa. That's right. And we will be playing some of her music for you, too. And then the following week, Jan Schwartz, who has the book Last Summer with Oscar. Jan is a woman that made some discoveries, and she's going to be with us at the beginning of the week. She made some discoveries about how you can work with your animals holistically with supplementation. Her story is just incredible. And if you have an animal that perhaps is suffering from cancer, I know what we went through with that. And this is something I think you're really going to find that is going to be absolutely wonderful. This is a very, very gracious lady. And then we're going to be talking with Vaughn Sherman about a memoir of a sea captain. And we're going to be talking about sea travels. Michael Burns is going to be with us next week as well. We're going to be talking about Bill Fisher. This is his personal story. How many people have gone through financial devastation? When that occurs, if someone robbed you, I've known people that were worth millions, lost everything because of corrupt financial people. Well, Bill Fisher, at the age of 70, did a turnaround. And when he left this earth, he left a huge legacy, not just money, but how to work with money effectively. And that is what Michael Burns is going to be talking about, because Bill Fisher was his father-in-law. So he has applied this wisdom, and it works. Sustainable wellness. We are in one of the most critical periods of history relative to health care. Well, why don't we take a positioning of being responsible for ourselves and doing the best we can? Life happens. You're going to get sick once in a while. You're going to have things that will go wrong, and you're going to need medical attention. Well, why not take a proactive approach to wellness and make sure that you are doing the best you possibly can? So we're going to be talking with Dr. Mumber and Heather Reed. And then last but not least, we're going to be talking with Patrick Robertson next week. And I know we've got a caller on the line, but we are going to be talking about power play. If you are passionate about the Navy SEALs, if you have that conspiracy theory positioning, I think you'll find this story well worth hearing. And Patrick is a phenomenal writer. He's been a New York bestseller for so many of the publications that he's put out. This is one of those rare times where I actually feel a novel is rich with information that is really real. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 888-627-6008. We've got a caller on the line. Let's show you how it's done on the Donna Sebo Show. Caller, welcome to the show, first name or initial. And where are you calling from?
Anchorage.
In Anchorage. Well, has it started to snow there yet?
A little bit. Not too much.
Not too much. Okay. First thing that I am picking up, is that you must be very clear, determined, and disciplined. A CDD, clear, determined, disciplined. This is going to be very important for you over the next 6 months. The reason being is that you are going to be implementing some changes in your life, and you need to be thoughtful about how you bring those changes in. If you try to bring them in too fast, you're going to feel like you're stuck, like someone has put you into a granite rock. You can't go anywhere, you can't do anything, and you're going to be very unhappy with yourself. Implement the changes thoughtfully. Don't rush it. Be very clear. Follow through with what you know you need to do. Put things into their right positioning. And I think that you are going to find yourself feeling very, very relieved by the time that late, the end of spring, let me just say the end of spring, first part of summer, you're going to have an order in your life that you've not been able to put into place for about 5 years. Little steps, consistency, and you will do very, very well. And you do need to have your eyes examined. There is something here about a potential lazy eye muscle. And believe it or not, this actually could develop from working on a computer too much. So I don't know if you have a smartphone or anything like this, but I would strongly encourage you, because I'm seeing you doing more and more on a computer, I would strongly encourage you to make sure that you have your eyes checked at least once a year, because if that lens is just adjusted just a little bit, it'll take a strain off of the eye muscles. And you might want to have just a slight tint to the lens so that it relaxes the eye. Do you have a question for me?
Yes. You know, sometimes I'm so intuitive to something. Was I right in a case like yesterday? I was very intuitive about a situation yesterday.
All right, hon. You need to give me specifics. What is it? Because you have stuff going on all the time. So can you give me specifics here?
No, not over the radio. I will have to make an appointment with you.
All right, let me just say this to you. When you are working with your intuitive self and you are recognizing when it's giving you information, some people call it a still small voice inside. Others will call it a feeling. It all depends on how you describe it. All I will say to you is if you document it, now this is very important for anyone listening, when you write it down, there is a connection that happens in the conscious self that awakens your attention to paying attention. So you're in the right momentum, the right move. This is just for your eyes only. You don't need to put it out for other people to read. And I share this with you, and I still do it. I started this years and years ago. I do it because I find that even after being involved in the work of mind for most of my life, there is still that side of myself where I'll say, oh, gee whiz, maybe it's my imagination, or something ridiculous will come up in thought patternings, and I disconnect. I discount what I'm getting. When you write it down, this is important. It's very important, and then you'll find it's correct, and that's what happened to me. And that was just, my goodness, that was just back a few months ago. So write things down.
This one yesterday was regarding a lunch. Was I correct? Can you tell me that?
Well, hon, it's still too vague. It's still too vague.
Okay.
You know, there's so many components relative to the lunch that I cannot give you clarity with just that drop.
Okay.
Because there's a lot more involved.
All right.
All right? So that's important to understand. But I want you to keep a record on your perception.
Okay.
Thanks so much for calling in. This is Donna Sebo, and you're very welcome, dear. I want to thank you for being so patient with my laryngitis that I've had these past few days. It is so frustrating when you're a gabby girt like myself when you squeak instead of being able to use your voice, but little by little it's going away. Hopefully by tomorrow, most of it will be gone. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-627-6008. When we come back, well, I got news for you. We're going to have some unusual information about unexpected sky falls, SKY falls, FALLS. What is it? Well, stay with me. You'll find out more. This is Donna. We'll be right back.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz at 888-627-6008. In October 1956, the date, the 26th of October, a monkey from the Philippines fell into the backyard of a lady by the name of Faye Swanson, who lived in San Mateo, California. How did that happen? Nobody knows. But she went out one morning to put clothes on her clothesline. Remember, at that time, not too many people had dryers, so she was going out there with her clothes to hang them up. And her clothesline had been shattered. Now, police were called. I mean, how many of us are going to have a monkey fall into our backyard? The poor creature was dead. The Civil Aviation Authority came out, along with the police. They did all kinds of research. Number one, no planes had flown over the area where the primate fell. And they knew it was a species of monkey from the Philippines, but other than that, they didn't have any way to determine any other information. Falling items from the sky. Well, my goodness, these stories come from all over the world, all different time frames. Let me share a few with you. 1910. Now, get this visual. A 3-pound, foot-long cylinder of white marble fell on a farmland in Westerville, Ohio. 1959, in Missouri, a suburb, a heavy 18-inch-long chain fell from the sky onto a man's bulldozer. His name was Wallace Baker. When he went to pick it up, he had work gloves on, fortunately, because it scorched his work gloves. It was blazing hot. He couldn't, you know, it's just boom, you pick it up and his gloves were smoking. Where did it come from? Nobody knows. 1962, North Carolina. A lady by the name of Glady Honeycutt, she was fishing. She was on a lake that was about 5 acres in size when this luminous sphere came down. It had spikes all over it. She saw it come down through the sky very slowly, and it came near her boat and entered into the water. Well, some sheriffs were contacted. They found that the object had disintegrated to a glob of shiny wire. 4 hours later, there were divers searching for it. They were munitions experts. The sphere had disappeared, totally disappeared. And about the same time, a similar sphere fell in Duncannon, Ireland. There, a baseball-sized one, glittering and spiked, plummeted down onto a hilltop. When it hit the earth, it created a hole 3 feet wide and 18 inches deep. 1969, Punta Gorda, Florida. They had golf balls, hundreds of golf balls that fell out of the sky. Where did they come from? Nobody reported a golf club missing hundreds of golf balls. Where did they come from? 84, Lakewood, California, an unarmed, this is scary, unarmed rusty bombshell from World War II. World War II came out of the sky slamming through 79-year-old Fred Simmons' deck. They weighed the shell. It was 22 pounds, 9 inches long. It created a 4-foot crater. Every year for nearly 100 years in Bijore, India, every single year, tiny beads fall from the sky. They come in all colors, but primarily the colors that are in these little tiny beads are blue and green. And there's so many of them, people will scoop them up with their hands. Don't you just love it? All of these anomalies happen, and you haven't a clue as to why. What would bring all of those beads together on a consistent basis in India for 100 years? I don't know. Do you? Donna Sebo here. Excuse me. I have that touch of laryngitis still. If you should want to give me a buzz, the number is 888-627-6008. I wanted to share a thought with you, just very quickly, is that we need to not be afraid of failure. And I know we're coming into a very dynamic period, and we have so many people on the East Coast in this country that are really going through some very, very heavy traumas. And when life hits us in such a way that we feel like we're a failure, or we just don't know what we're going to do, I think it's important to remember that life is always going to have its challenges. There's no way to avoid those challenges. Sometimes they come through Mother Nature, other times they can come through some other venues that we would never have imagined could occur to us. But it's how we respond to it. And I just want to say that the American spirit, to me, has always represented the finest and the best. Americans are known for their generosity. When we think of the cultures around the world that we have opened our hearts and our minds to, they are in this country, many of them, no matter what continent they come from. And they know, they almost want to depend on us for everything. But this is a time, right now, when we need to think of those that are here in the United States because they're hurting big time. Give what you can, do what you can in your own way, even if it's just sending a prayer. If you have local food banks that you can contribute food to, if you can give donations to the Salvation Army or to the Red Cross, any organization that is going to enable our fellow Americans to get their lives back into order, please give it some consideration. This month of November is a celebration of Thanksgiving. I want you to be aware that part of that Thanksgiving is not just being grateful for our blessings, but also to know that those blessings can be shared with those that are in need of them, and they don't know that they have very much to be grateful for. But I think we can let them know that they've got the support, the love, the prayers, and the caring of millions of fellow Americans that will reach out to them and do whatever they can. This is Donna Sebo. I'm so delighted that you've been able to share this time with me. God bless. Have an absolutely awesome weekend. And we'll be back here again, same time, same place. Have a fabulous day or evening wherever you are, remembering always you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.